and Bruff.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the MLS?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house of positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
You know, maybe the Canucks could have got it done if they'd come really hot, really fast.
As the Canucks come back the other way, chance for a 3-on-1. Hoglander down the left wing, pass in front, going to the net. They score! Brock Besser! Just 34 seconds into the game, Brock Besser gives the Canucks a 1-0 lead, driving hard to the net.
Drans has just got some Vaseline there. He's like, this is awesome, right?
And behave.
Yeah. Yeah, baby! Yeah.
No mean feat, my goodness.
As then McDavid forces a turnover to Dreisaitl. He scores through the middle. JT Miller handed it right to Connor McDavid deep in his own zone.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry.
Our Horvat, Edler, and Myers as Dreisaitl gets a one-timer right circle and scores set up by McDavid.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far.
The Oilers setting up in the Vancouver zone. Darnell Nurse leaves near point. Evan Bouchard into the slot. Fake the shot. Shoots now and scores.
I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about.
To Miller. At the near point, spins off a check play to Nolik, backhand pass through the middle, turned it over. Here's Josh Archibald up the right wing. 2-on-1, he's waiting for Nurse to catch up. Archibald in front for Nurse, he shoots and scores.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford and Jason Bruff.
8:04 on a Wednesday, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Let's go straight to the phone lines. Excited to get our next guest online. He joins us every week, but we have got a big old talking point to get into with Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Bruff Show. What up, Wish?
What is it, McDavid's chase of 100 points?
It is.
I agree. It's pretty exciting.
It is. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about if he can get to 100 points.
How's life on Twitter, Wish?
Who cares? Honestly. Like, I'm sorry, but like, my whole point is that there was going to be absolute overreaction to something Tom Wilson did because it's Tom Wilson. And then I spent the last 24 hours reading about how this is Todd Bertuzzi and that his career should be over.
Wish,
and
it was a horrifying act of violence.
Horrifying.
And No, I didn't even get to it, Jason. And then the Rangers released a statement calling it a horrifying act of violence and asking for the resignation of an NHL official. So, yeah, I think the reaction may have been a nuanced, rational approach to the action that we saw on Monday. Which was my only point. Everybody can yell at me. I could lose followers. I don't care. I was right.
Okay.
Well, if this is the type of content that ESPN is going to be bringing to their NHL contract, then count me out, good sir.
God, there's a lot of that too. It's always amazing to me when, like, if you work at a place, sometimes you lose your agency, right? So people aren't mad at you as a writer. They just reference your company. It's happened at Yahoo too. Like, what, you know, it'd be like, you know, I write something that pisses somebody off and they're just like, is this what Yahoo does? I'm like, no, they help you find the dentist in your neighborhood. Like,
no, they lose money.
That's what I do. Right. Exactly. No, but to answer your question, look, everybody should have read my column yesterday. They know where I stand on all this stuff, but like, I just, you know, I'm right. Like, everybody lost their mind about something that honestly happens once a week. It happened last night in the Flyers game.
Yep.
And we're gonna treat it like it's some kind of, like, you know, Chris Simon adjacent attack because Tom Wilson's involved with it and calling for 20 game suspensions for something that happens once a week and not understanding that if you suspend it for 20 games, one, you won't serve 20 because it's PA, and two, then that means the next guy that does it gets like 20 games or 10 games.
So it's
just nonsensical.
One of the debates that we had yesterday was, can you treat guys like Tom Wilson differently because of their history when it comes to the actual offense? Because the way I laid it out was the Department of Player Safety looks at it like this. They go, is that play suspendable? And if the answer is no, then there's no suspension, regardless of who committed the act. And if they say yes, that's when history comes into the equation because they say, well, for a guy that doesn't have a history, maybe he'd get 3-game suspension. But if you do have a history, it's, you know, 7 or whatever.
Right.
Could they change that a little bit?
To do what? To say that a play that's not illegal for someone else is illegal for Tom Wilson?
Yeah,
that's basically Halford kind of.
And this is the thing that we think would be good for hockey is judging plays based on who is perpetrating the play and not like the play itself. Like, well, aren't we always crying about consistency in officiating and consistency in supplemental discipline, but now we're going to start making calls and doing suspensions based on personality profile? Is that really where we want to go?
No, I agree with you. And we were joking that eventually Tom Wilson would have so many suspensions that he would get suspended for like a holding penalty.
Right. Right, exactly. That's the part of this that makes me mental, really. I mean, like the idea that, look, like I said yesterday, I am anticipating the moment in which we can all hold hands together around the fire and chant Tom Wilson's name when he gets a 60-game suspension for something that warrants it. Okay, mm-hmm. I am not a Tom Wilson guy. I think that he's a dangerous, reckless player. Okay, but you can't take something that doesn't rise to the level of a suspension and then will it into a suspension because you don't like the person that did the act. It just doesn't work that way, and it shouldn't work that way. And that's why. I mean, maybe we're all just pent up in our homes for the last year. We're looking for an outlet or something. But to take what he did in that game and then just elevate it to the point where literal like peers of ours are saying this is basically Todd Bertuzzi on Steve Moore. I mean, what are we doing? What are we even doing? Like, why are we doing this? I don't understand it.
Well, that's why we wanted to get you on today because we knew that this was going to be like front burner. And the piece that you wrote. Where you did the right thing. You dove into who keeps enabling Tom Wilson to keep doing this. And, you know, all the usual customers were there with the NHLPA, the NHL, referees, hockey culture, and everything. For me, it was really interesting because you said, look, the primary reason that we keep seeing Tom Wilson do these things is because of Tom Wilson. The anecdote that you had in the lead in that paragraph was really interesting to me because there were two things. You said, if you ask around the NHL, the one thing you keep hearing about Wilson is that he's absolutely oblivious to his own size and strength. And that another one of your sources said he's essentially a black belt in the middle of a bar fight. That, to me, is really interesting because it's almost like there's this tacit either acknowledgement or understanding that he's a super dangerous guy that's not getting it. And it's not going to change. And it's certainly not going to change now because, I mean, in a certain light, you could say, well, all he did yesterday was get a $5,000 fine and he got to rough up everybody on the ice that he wanted and got to flex afterwards.
I think what he doesn't get is that when you put him in normal situations, like a check or a boarding penalty that might get you, you know, a 5-minute major or something, like what he doesn't understand is that when you're 6'4", 25 to 30, that, and as strong as this guy is, he's extraordinarily strong.
Yep.
Like you are going to probably injure someone in that instance in a way that someone wouldn't. So to Jason's point before, I don't think it's about Tom Wilson's reputation, but I do have time for the idea that him doing something to maybe a smaller player and not understanding the limits of his own strength. Right. I think that's an interesting conversation to have. And when I wrote that about Wilson, I mean, I've had that conversation with so many people around the league that are just like, look, you know, what he doesn't understand is that certain things that he does, and you know, I think the Brandon Carlo situation would be a good example of that. Another player does that, maybe there's not a catastrophic, you know, result. You know, it's not an injurious play. Tom Wilson does it, it's an injury. Mm-hmm. And you look at what happened with Panarin in that, you know, tussle there. I mean, Wilson Panarin weighs like less than 160, right? Yeah. He's like 5'11", and this is Tom Wilson. So I know that we, you know, a bunch of Ranger fans, Zubruder filmed this like hair pulling thing that the NHL said never happened, but it's just as simple as he just threw the guy to the ice, because he's got him by like 50 pounds,
yeah,
and he's like infinitely stronger than him. So I do think an important thing when it comes to his recklessness. Yeah, some of it is definitely the way in which he has delivered hits. I actually think that from an illegal check to the head perspective, he's actually changed the way he hits based on that suspension he received. But the thing he's oblivious to is the advantage that he has in size and strength over other players that results in, you know, the Carlo injury and the Panarin injury, if you were to believe the Rangers.
Right. That's why I loved the way that you approach this. Is like, this isn't about just Tom Wilson versus the Department of Player Safety, because that's way too simplistic and black and white. There's a lot of different entities that are involved with how the game is policed and what have you. And that's what's led us to this point. Like, I'll be perfectly honest. If they would have suspended Wilson for what he did against Panarin, I doubt it would have made a real significant difference in the way Tom Wilson plays, because he, like, 2 months ago, he got 7 games for hitting Carlo, and it doesn't seem to have changed his approach at all. You know, the interesting one that I read this morning was Rob Rossi for The Athletic in Pittsburgh had a sit down with Matt Cook. And Matt Cook was talking about the amount of time and effort that had to go in watching video and getting stern lectures from Dan Bylsma and Mario Lemieux.
He's like, so keep the elbow down, but it just keeps going up. It just keeps going up.
So here's the postscript on Cook. He kind of learns his lesson and goes for a couple of years in Pittsburgh and is actually changes the way that he plays. I think he won the Masterton Award, and then goes to Minnesota and gets another massive suspension for a completely dirty hit. Like, I feel like if you're not, even trying to rewire and reprogram guys is an overwhelming task. And right now the Department of Player Safety doesn't even bother with that. Like, I know Parros has had sit-downs with Wilson and everything, but it's obviously not working. I just feel like the whole damn system needs a change, and it's not just about do we suspend this guy 5 games for what he did to Panarin or what have you.
All right, so there's a lot there. First off, I think I saw people talking to both Matt Cook and Sean Avery this morning to get their opinions on Tom Wilson.
Correct.
And I just find it to be incredibly ironic that we're at a point where we're like, George Parros shouldn't run player safety because he used to be a goon. But here's what Sean Avery and Matt Cook have to say about the situation.
I know.
So I do think player safety does a really good job of trying to deprogram players and change their behavior. This tracks back to when Shanahan started the department. It's always been one of the planks in their platform. And I do think that in certain ways, they've done well with it. You know, there aren't a whole lot of repeat offenders outside of Tom Wilson in the league right now. Where I think the rehabilitation has to happen, and where I think this is salient to the Matt Cook example, is within his team. The Capitals have absolutely no interest in trying to make Tom Wilson a different player. They're paying Tom Wilson a lot of money to do exactly what he did on Monday. They publicized what he did on Monday in a much lamented tweet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a Tom Wilson team. They don't want him to change. They don't want him to be suspended for 40 games. I mean, obviously, but they're not going to do anything to change his behavior in the way the Penguins work with Matt Cook, because his ultimate value is being that guy. Now, the Matt Cook example gets even more interesting if you remember back at the time. One of the things that Mario Lemieux was arguing for was that teams themselves should suffer a financial penalty for repeat offenders. You know, he wrote a letter to Bettman and said, you should fine a team $1 million if they have a guy that gets suspended twice in like a season or something. And I think that speaks to a part of my column yesterday that I think is really important, which is that there aren't a lot of repercussions or ways to, remedy situations for the NHL and the Department of Player Safety outside of a suspension. Mm-hmm. I don't think what Tom Wilson did on Monday is suspendable, but I do think what he did is real bad and probably deserved a game misconduct. And if you wanted to hit him with a $300,000 fine for it, by all means do that, okay? But they can't, because the NHLPA has it collectively bargained that the cap on fines is $5,000. I would be fine if the NHL wanted to, you know, hit the Capitals with a financial penalty of some sort to say, hey, wake up and talk to this guy. Mm-hmm. But they can't, because they don't have any appetite for it. And to go to your point before, for all the people saying, well, give him 50 games, good luck. Mm-hmm. Guess what's not going to happen? Him getting 50 games, because the NHLPA has it collectively bargained that they go to a neutral arbitrator and can get their suspension knocked down like they did with Tom Wilson's 20-game suspension. And the arbitrator's argument was, there is no basis in math for you coming up with this number. So to go to 50 or go to 60 or go to whatever, go to a season, great. it's just never going to happen because the mechanisms in place prevent it from happening. So it's all fantasy land. It's all just overreactive fantasy land, not based on actually how this system currently works.
And the appeals process is why the Department of Player Safety has to treat it like a legal case.
Yes.
Right? Like they have to rely on precedent and go. So with that in mind, Andrew in Toronto texts into the show and says, ask Wish how Wilson versus Panarin differs from Mike Matheson on Elias Pettersson. Do you remember that one, Wish?
I don't, unfortunately.
Okay, so
I could go back and check it out, but I mean, look, if I don't know what the ultimate point is here, but the point that I was trying to make in pointing out the Sidney Crosby Travis Konecny happened last night is that this happens all the time. Like I the only reason this became a thing where people all of a sudden are, you know, bleeding hearts about gloved punches inside of scrums is because it was Tom Wilson. That was the only point I was trying to make when it happened. And I mean, if you think I'm wrong in that, I don't know what you're looking at. The discourse on this went completely off the rails to the point where you had an NHL team calling it a, you know, horrifically violent act and asking for the resignation of an NHL official.
Yeah, if it's John Carlson doing that to Artemi Panarin and Pavel Buchnevich, it's an entirely different conversation. But now, Wish, I want to ask you, we're speaking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I'm more about, I feel like they need to just reevaluate everything top to bottom and how these things are handled, because look at what we're left with now. You're left with an aggrieved team in the Rangers that say, well, the league's not protecting us. And we can't really do much against Tom Wilson because he's bigger and stronger and meaner than all of our guys. They've got a game tonight, and you look at it, and all of a sudden it's like we've dialed it back, the way back machine, where the level of retribution is going to be some kind of frontier justice. And if you really think about it, it might end up being, as to what Sean Avery said on Cameo yesterday, you don't go after Tom Wilson for your revenge, you go after one of the Capitol stars. And I don't know, for better or for worse, but that's kind of what we're left with tonight, unless you see another avenue out of this.
Well, the avenue out of this is usually when the NHL sits down with both teams before the game and lets it be known that any retaliation is going to be met swiftly. And that's typically what would happen when the pressure is, you know, when the kettle is whistling with the pressure building up before a game. And that's kind of what they've done through the years. So I'm trying to come to grips with the idea that me, who loves fighting, may be thinking that the league needs to kind of change in a revolutionary way, because I don't think the answer is enforcers. Enforcers have been around during Tom Wilson's career, and Tom Wilson's still Tom Wilson.
Yep.
And all the nasty things we've seen. I mean, you know, the Matt Cook example. The Matt Cook hit on Mark Savard happened at a time when I believe Milan Lucic and Sean Thornton were both on the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Like,
and that hit, and I guess at the time that hit technically was legal.
But so, I mean, and that's a fair point. And you know, obviously that's changed too over the years in trying to outlaw that kind of play. So I wrote this in the piece and I've been kind of workshopping it now for a little bit, but the NHL is clearly trying to reach a younger audience. Mm-hmm. And the NHL is clearly as a sport, trending in a direction away from fighting and away from physicality towards a game of speed and skill. I mean, it's undeniable what's happened to the game in the last decade. It looks completely different than it did in 2010.
Right.
So maybe it's time to just lean into that. Maybe it's time to like, if you don't like a gloved punch in the back of the head, just say that's illegal and just say it's an automatic suspension. You know, like maybe we lean into the idea that this sport is no longer the sport of violence that the NHL was built on.
So like if you punch
someone in the NFL, it's a 15 yards.
Right. So you're saying the NHL can no longer have it both ways. You can't be old school and you can't be new school at the same time.
I'm saying that they are stuck in a purgatory of their own making.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm saying that whenever something like this happens now, it sticks out like a sore thumb because it never happens. Mm-hmm. The sport is moving away from it. And maybe it's gotten to the point where you need to legislate it out, because otherwise it's just going to keep lurching back to this thing that everybody finds abhorrent. Hockey in some ways I think is carrying its legacy of physicality and violence like an anchor behind it right now, just trying to move forward with this new phase of the sport. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not there yet. I am an old curmudgeon who grew up watching the Patrick Division.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there now a little bit with the idea that, you know, we don't have to do this anymore if we don't want to. And maybe it's
you just don't want to argue on Twitter anymore, do you? Like, you're just just done with it. I'm done with the arguments.
I'm fine arguing with it because, you know, like, here's the thing. Like, if I do something dumb and I get yelled at, then I really feel bad about it. And I get sullen.
Mm-hmm.
If I do something and I'm right, you know, that's fine. And I was completely right. And I had people, like, you know, yelling at me about ESPN and saying, well, all of your peers say you should be suspended. I'm like, dude, do you think my peers have ever mattered opinion-wise to me?
Yeah.
Like, come on. So it is what it is. But again, like, if you're somebody who thinks the reaction to what Tom Wilson did on Monday wasn't an overreaction, I don't know what to tell you, man. Get a hobby.
No, I kept saying the same thing. I'm like, I feel like we're missing the true, like, argument and essence of what this is all about here. And it's not about this singular instance where Tom Wilson gets suspended on. It's more about the things that you're talking about. So how do we get to the point where we're having this debate? Because Tom Wilson's such this weird, unique individual that, as you very well put it in the piece, is the bridge really between old school hockey mm-hmm. and new school hockey, where the NHL wants to have it both ways. Like, yes, we want to be progressive and, you know, brain injuries matter and injuries matter, and we don't want to have frontier justice all the time. But at the same time, that frontier justice got us on TMZ and, as you pointed out, got, like, the most clicked NHL story of the year on ESPN.
Is it the younger fans that are more averse to the violence in hockey?
Well, it's an interesting question. There's a part of me that thinks younger fans kind of would like the violence in hockey just because of some of the things that younger fans are into, like MMA and,
right.
And, you know, all that other stuff,
sure.
and like video games and things
sure.
like that. So there's a part of me that thinks that that would actually appeal to them. And I've always felt like marketing of violence is something that the NHL ran away from at a time when it really would have, like, built the league, say, in, like, the 1990s. Now, I do think that there is – when I look at the feedback I got in the last 24 hours, or maybe 48 now, who the hell knows, a lot of it does seem to be from younger fans.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've seen some from college-aged fans, stuff like that. And I have to – I always try to remind myself about this, and I struggle with it sometimes, which is that I grew up with a sport that is remarkably different than what it is today.
Mm.
And if you're in college – okay, now, that means you grew up post-lockout. There are people that are now, like, post-lockout babies, right?
Yep.
And the only sport that they know is the Crosby-Ovechkin NHL that has been trending every single year away from the sport I grew up with into a fleet, you know, speedy offensive game where it sucks if Connor McDavid is obstructed.
Yep.
And, like, That's a tough thing to remember when you're, you know, when you're of a certain age and you've been watching the sport as long as I have. And so I do, Jason, think that part of the reaction here is from a generation that sees the hockey that we grew up with and thinks it is an alien entity.
Yeah, not even the same game.
It's not even the same game. So mm-hmm. when they see this and we look at it and we're like, this happens all the time. And
yeah.
it used to happen even more than all the time mm-hmm. back in the day. And they look at it and say, this is not my sport.
Yeah, I saw people saying, like this is one of the worst things I've ever seen. And I'm like, what? How old are you?
You know, right. So, but,
this
but,
is nothing.
But I think that's the thing, though, is that, like, maybe it is the worst thing they've ever seen. Like, if they've been watching hockey on the reg for
sure.
6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Be.
Maybe it is. I don't know. But, like, I still think that this is what happened Monday is commonplace in today's game. The NHL used that word, and I don't think it's the wrong word because, again, it just happened last night. But I do think that, like, body slamming a guy on the ice for someone who's in college now reads different than it would for someone who grew up watching fighting, where usually the fight ends with somebody without a helmet being slammed to the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that. I'm trying to be cognizant of it. I'm trying to be respectful of it, but I also think that, you know, judging this play as something more than it was is wrong. And I also think that, again, if you're somebody who doesn't like Tom Wilson, you got to pick your spot, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that it sucks that we have to wait for him to do something that's worthy of suspension, a massive suspension, to give him a massive suspension.
Yeah.
But that's how it works. And you can't retrofit something that's not a suspendable offense into one just because you want Tom Wilson out of the league. It just – it's A, it's not right, and B, it's going to end up being a bad precedent for other players. You know, once you open up that Pandora's box of gloved punch during a scrum equals suspension, well, you know what? Then you know, then you're going to be the one asking for it the next time it happens to your team.
Well, on the subject of gloved punches thrown during a scrum, these two teams meet again tonight. I got a feeling there might be one or two of those, and maybe some more. We'll have to wait and see. Greg, thanks for doing this today, bud. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk again next week.
Anytime. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Coming up, it's the world-famous What We Learned segment on the Halford and Brough Show. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? One, let us know. Two, text to 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. And three, hashtag WWL so it's easy for Jason to filter. Halford, Brough, Sportsnet, 650. .33 on a Wednesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Attention, Vancouver golfers. Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today.
Okay, I know it's What We Learned time, and I know there's been quite a few submissions, but I just wanted to follow up on the Wyshynski interview because I don't 1,000% agree with Wish's analysis on the head. I think they could have suspended Tom Wilson in the same way that Mike Matheson was suspended for the Elias Pettersson play. Now, I think there are differences in that. I think Matheson, for lack of a better way of putting it, picked Pettersson up and slammed him to the ice. Wilson didn't really do that with Panarin, but the end result was still a player getting slammed pretty hard to the ice. Mm-hmm. And it was very dangerous, especially since Panarin wasn't wearing a helmet. Now, I don't know if you can put that on Wilson, because Panarin did initiate the scrum with Wilson, and then Wilson was so much stronger than Panarin that it did result in Panarin getting slammed
doesn't
to
that,
the ice.
Doesn't that go against your whole argument, Jason? What you just said?
I think the NHL could have used it as a way out.
They clearly did. They probably
they
did.
Didn't. They could have said so here's the Matheson on Pettersson explanation. The league determined that I just want to come up with the exact right phrasing.
You're reading the Matheson ruling,
yes,
correct?
That okay. He, quote-unquote, intentionally and dangerously slammed Pettersson to the ice in Saturday's game, and he got two games for that.
But Matheson initiated that on a defenseless player.
Right. So, look, maybe I'm going back and forth on this, right? Maybe I am, because I, in some ways, I think the NHL could have used that ruling, the Matheson on Pettersson, and be like, look, he intentionally slammed Panarin to the ice. Now, was it a little bit different in that I think Matheson kind of like lifted Pettersson and used his leverage and then slammed him down to the ice, right? I don't know if you can say the same with Wilson on Panarin.
They could have suspended him. He got a 10-minute misconduct for roughing. They could have suspended him for roughing. They could have said it was a dangerous non-hockey play, and they could have suspended him. And then they could have thrown it to the court of NHL and NHLPA and say, you guys deal with it.
Guys, he didn't initiate.
Doesn't matter if he initiated.
It does matter if he initiated.
Why?
Because Panarin at that point is not a defenseless player. He has initiated in combat
yeah.
with
well,
Tom
I agree
Wilson.
With it. Yeah, I kind of agree with Dom
and
on this,
and if you're
right?
going to initiate,
that's why I'm struggling with it.
You can't suspend a guy for retaliating.
Mm-hmm. Sure you can.
No, you
can't
because it's not a suspendable play under the rule book of the NHL.
So
it's right. It would have been so easy to do. You said you suspend him two games for roughing. He got 10-minute misconduct in the game. He should have been booted out of the game, quite frankly.
What you're doing is what Wish said, is you're creating a suspension that is not worthy of a suspension because of the guy doing the act.
That's correct. He doesn't get to live by normal people standards.
Do you remember Matthias?
Matthias, yeah.
Sean. So he was a former Panther and, of course, a former Canuck. He tweeted out after the Matheson suspension – that Matheson, quote unquote, didn't target the head, didn't slew foot him, and didn't take more than two strides to finish the check. What was dirty? Being stronger? That is a good argument for not suspending Tom Wilson. What is Tom Wilson guilty of? Being stronger? Like, he overpowered Panarin. The NHL determined that, or at least there wasn't conclusive proof that he pulled Panarin's hair. The NHL ruled that this was a battle of strengths, and Wilson won it. He basically shoved Panarin to the ice. Now, was the result dangerous? Yeah, it was, because Wilson is so strong, and Panarin's like, what, 150 pounds? So it is a tough one, and I find myself going back and forth, and I apologize for that, but I'm kind of talking it out as I go. Anyway, let's get to what we learned.
Yeah, five of the down matrix. We've got this kid. The Dunbar Lumber text in basket right now is a mix of the Tom Wilson debate, potential names for the Abbotsford AHL franchise.
We keep hoping.
Sat going through puberty. People are still weighing in with things to see and do in Abbotsford. Like, the Abbotsford Tourism Board is still alive and well. And then there's generic what we learns about the NBA, Champions League. It's a wide mix right now.
Why don't we try and get through as many as possible?
Okay. So, for example, one here, that the best team name option that I've seen so far, the Abbotsford Jorts. Because I think you could come up with some sort of all-denim tuxedo uniform.
It'll probably happen.
Including the hockey pants, which could be made out of denim and turned into jorts.
That would get old fast, guys.
The jorts?
The denim look. Like, you could do it a one-off night. You could have, like, farm night at the barn.
Or
and
barn
have
night
overall
at the,
jerseys.
Barn night at the farm.
Schmidt, the train engineer.
Nice. That's a new one.
On the Wilson incident, bouncing a guy's head off the ice is an intent to injure. He knows the guy's helmet is off, and why don't the refs jump in to separate fights? Why is it only the linesman? Anyway, not saying the refs could have stopped it, but during that scrum, they just stand there blowing the whistle and yelling. They are useless. Okay, so that's a separate incident. Bouncing a guy's head off the ice is an intent to injure. Did he mean to bounce his head off the ice? I don't think so.
You never know. Not giving Tom Wilson the benefit of the doubt, I'll tell you that.
Oh, you got to stop. Stop it.
He probably meant to bounce it twice off the ice.
Stop.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Cam and Langley with a What We Learned, hashtag WWO. What We Learned. Breff was really, really vying for that Abbey Cactus Club sponsorship, and it was looking great until he called it a, quote, happening place. Now we should insert your how do you do fellow kids drop after that.
Yeah.
You did refer to it as a happening place.
It is a happening place.
For all the feedback that we've gotten on Abbotsford, I haven't really gotten a sense of where all the hep cats hang out.
Downtown
Abbotsford?
Yeah, but, okay.
That's very generic, and I feel like you just made it up on the spot.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah. There's Cactus Club, and Lou's Grill apparently is a hangout.
Right. Like, I mean, is there a hotspot bar? Like, I understand that nightclubs have kind of gone the way of the dodo bird. There's not many left. I mean, how many nightclubs are left downtown?
People
now?
Are opening them in their own house.
Right. Yeah. It's just a lot easier.
I think they might make a comeback.
Bottle services.
Nightclubs?
Is
yeah.
Cheap.
Sure. Why not?
When's the last time you went to like a full, like, you had?
I'm 45, man.
Come on. Just answer the question. When's the last time you did like a full on like nightclub?
Last night.
Maybe you wore a sports coat. Like, maybe you didn't.
2 years ago in Scottsdale. I was at on a buddy's stag.
And it was like a nightclub.
Many
proper.
Nightclubs, yeah.
Right.
Like, bottle service and everything.
What's
he's almost bragging.
No, I'm not. But it was, I called it my last hurrah. At the end of the weekend, I was like, I'm done.
I've never
had him. They had a memorial bottle service for him at the end.
Yeah.
They poured out all the leftover liquor. What about you? You're young. You're 29.
My last real nightclub experience was we went to Vegas for a friend's 21st.
Oh,
and we
nice.
Went to one of the Vegas clubs there.
Which one? Do you remember?
The one in the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, okay.
I forget its name.
That's...
How about you? What was your last one, did you say?
I went to, I think it was at Fortune Sound
Lounge.
And I was at the age where
what was it called?
Fortune Sound Club? Sound Lounge? Sound Club? I can't remember.
Yeah. Are they related to the Miami Sound Machine?
Yeah. That was the four mothers of the Fortune Sound. Anyway, I was there at an age where I was a little too old to be there relative to the rest of the people that were there.
By
the, also,
we got to read some what we
the
learned.
Last time I had bottle service was there.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just before we get to the next one, we learned. Anyone listening in Surrey will know Mirage Nightclub. And if you have any good Mirage stories, please text them.
They were one of the few clubs that had $3 triples. Oh, I remember yeah. back
That's
in
a good
day.
Idea.
You legally can't serve a double, so you have to serve a double with a shot glass on the side for your extra shot.
They're like, if you want to fight, go to the parking lot. We've got gloves out there.
You don't have to use them.
Guy in the street, what we learned, I learned you guys are freaking nuts. I'm 60 years old and have watched and played hockey during that time, and the body slam by Tom Wilson, it's inconceivable that it wasn't suspendable and absolutely ludicrous. He goes on.
Okay.
There's going to be disagreements on this, right? I've disagreed with myself. It's one of these hard situations, right? And I get what the NHL determined. Mm-hmm. And I fully understand why most people think Tom Wilson should have been suspended regardless. When this whole thing started, like one of the first things we discussed and joked about is they kind of need a VP of common sense, right?
Yeah, totally they do.
You know, like forget the precedent, just suspend him. If it's overturned on appeal, then whatever, we tried our best.
Like, you know those kids in elementary school that are constantly in trouble? And they don't get any benefit of the doubt. They're always the one that's blamed for something, even if it's not their fault. They're always in the principal's office. I approve of that. I approve of that. If you're
the worst kind of human.
If you're a bad egg or a bad apple,
no, stop
that
it.
Tag never leaves you. Especially if you're running around in the NHL.
Doug from Salmon
flexing
Arm.
Flexing in the penalty box.
Doug from Salmon Arm, what we learned. I learned that Bruff is turning into Halford.
How so?
I guess I am waffling on my opinion.
I don't think you were waffling so much
I
as you were
waffling a little bit.
I thought it was more
there's
just
a bit of a waffle going.
I thought Mike would take more of an issue to being called a waffle or a waffle.
It's a long standing thing. I tried to fight it. I tried to fight it and then I gave up.
I called him a coward multiple times.
In true waffle fashion. I was like, this isn't worth it.
What we learned, Panarin keeps losing weight the longer the show goes on. He started 170 pounds, then he was mentioned as being 160, and Bruff just said he is 150. He's keto. He's on keto.
Artemi Panarin weighs 109 pounds. He's 3'11".
Yeah.
How do you expect him to keep pace with Tom Wilson, who is 6'9" and 285 pounds?
Unsigned what we learned. Don't tune in to Halford and Bruff at or after 7:30 a.m. to get conversation about the game the previous day, because they don't work on a loop, and once they've talked about it, that's it. They aren't talking about it again.
It's old news. True.
You want us to talk about that game from last night? That was just that the game occurred. Here's the thing. Here's JT Miller had a temper tantrum.
Angry.
Yeah. Okay. So play. Okay. Here was JT Miller in the post game talking about his performance.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
Jack Rathbone made his NHL debut and looked good. I thought he handled himself well. When I watched that game, I was like, oh, there's potential here.
Why are you doing this right now? You're just pandering.
He's appeasing the masses.
Yeah, you're just pandering. And you're doing it in like a 90-second hit.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
McDavid picked up two more points.
Oh, he's still going. Here's the thing.
Seven more to go before he reaches 100. The Canucks lost again. It's their sixth straight loss.
I think we should break.
Does this listener actually want us to, quote, work on a loop? That feels like the least amount of effort you could possibly put into something.
Maybe he's on
something.
Keep
hoping. What's more? What's more, listener? We would not approach the topic and content with the same level of enthusiasm if we did it three times.
You know, I call it like the black hole.
That's what it would be. It would be a black hole repetitive content.
Sean from New West texts in just to say that he got kicked out of the Mirage for sneaking in McDonald's close to last call. I very much respect that move. In fact, we're going to end this segment with that. We'll be back with maybe crossover or maybe more what we learned. Maybe we'll look back at last night's game.
Connor McDavid had two more points. That much closer to 100.
Besser scored.
This is not good.
Canucks lost.
Halford Bruff, Sportsnet, 650.
Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Would you like to be the envy of your neighborhood? If so, we have good news. Craftsman and Sportsnet are teaming up to give one lucky winner the chance to win $20,000 in cash and Craftsman tools and storage to create their own dream garage. To enter for your chance to win the Craftsman Dream Garage Contest, visit sportsnet.ca/craftsman. Enter weekly to increase your chances. No purchase necessary. Contest ends June 20th, 2021. See full rules for details. Craftsman tools are available at Lowe's, at Rona, and Amazon.ca. What a very eventful show we've had here. Talked a lot about Abbotsford. I feel like at the end of the day, Jason, after 2 hours and 51 minutes on the air, we've really gained a deeper understanding and appreciation of the city of Abbotsford.
Understanding for sure. Our poll question, should Tom Wilson have been suspended? Three options, yes for a long time, yes for a couple games, or just plain old no. I fully admit that I've been waffling on this. Like, I just looked at my vote, and I had actually voted for no.
Oh, my God.
Instead of...
You lied earlier.
No, I thought, I was like, I think I voted for yes for a couple games.
Misclick, or...
You have turned the studio into a house of lies. He's a patented...
Waffle boy.
Continual liar. I don't know if you know this.
I think based on he's precedent, and when I originally broke down the play, and that was like yesterday, I'm like, I don't know how they can suspend him for this because I don't see, like, and ultimately exactly what I saw is what the NHL Department of Safety saw. But at the same time, I'm sitting there going, yeah, but I still didn't like it, and it was still really dangerous, and I don't like that.
Let's bring in Scott Rintoul to further this conversation, the host of the Surtoul Show, 9-1 here on Sportsnet 650. What up, Scotty?
How you guys doing? I thought you were doing tequila poppers in there with the intro music we just heard here for Cinco de Mayo.
That's after the show.
9:05 a.m., Scotty.
We got to be responsible.
Yeah. I was waiting for Dom to come in and throw... a hat on Bruff and have him do some tequila poppers in the background like a 22-year-old trip to Mexico.
While wearing like a Saskatchewan Rough Riders jersey.
Of course.
That's right. The Rough Riders jersey with no name on the back.
Although,
the blank back.
Based on the show today, you guys should go to Abbotsford and do that.
This is true. Okay, as much as I want to delve more into the Abbotsford talk, the Wilson thing. Has your mind changed in any way, shape, or form based on all the developments that have gone over the last 24 hours? Where do you stand on the whole situation?
No, he should have been suspended.
Yeah.
He should have been suspended. If you don't suspend him and it's, hey, scrums happen every time, it's then, okay, anything's on in a scrum too. Like anything. Like, hey, man, he was mad and it's a scrum. So you can slam a guy to the ice a couple of times and you can punch him in the head while he's down there. I'm telling Dom during him testing my mic that I was laughing at his term initiate combat. Like, if that qualifies as initiating combat from Artemi Panarin, we got a pretty loose definition.
You jumped on his back.
Yeah. Hey, man, can you stop punching my teammate in the head? I'm going to try to tie up your arms.
Yeah.
You want to go? No, not really. I don't, but I guess
I'm only 110 pounds.
Yeah, let's go.
He dropped 10 more pounds on the way out.
So, okay. Rinty, hold on. If you're the Department of Player Safety, what's kind of like – What's the quote that you give when you're suspending Tom Wilson?
Not a hockey act.
Okay.
Like, they've used that before. Hey, we don't have anything here technically that we can nab you with, but it's not a hockey act. We don't think that's within the confines of what a hockey act is.
Scotty, what's coming up on the show today? You and Karen, 9-1 right here on SportsNet.
Yeah, I got Tim McAuliffe coming up. We're going to talk a little U18 today as well. That tournament, a couple more rounds here. Semifinals go today. Canada's in that, and a lot of people obviously in this market are looking at the draft. I don't know if you guys heard.
Oh, we are too.
Yeah. So we'll find out a little bit more of that. Justin Bourne, Ryan Pinder, because Ryan Pinder, not only is a host in Calgary, he is the former play-by-play voice of the Abbotsford Heat.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right. Have a good show. Enjoy it. We are out of here today, folks, but we will be back tomorrow. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Bruff. He's been Nephew Dom. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show in the Morning on Sportsnet 650.